Yeah, that's fine. We didn't get your agenda, unfortunately, until we got back from work last night, so we couldn't add anything to it.
But we think that
we should at least be having a conversation about how we ended up at loggerheads, because there's been a lot of public statements about the fact that particularly council can't understand why we're upset, and we just think, if you don't know how we got into this position, there's no way of either improving the relationship or stopping that from happening further on. So we need to have a really candid conversation about how we've ended up literally butting heads for the last 6 months, because it seems incredulous that no one kind of gets their head around it. So that's the one thing that we would have said that we'd like to add to the meeting, really. I think we should start with that and get it out of the way, if that's all right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say thank you for coming. I know people have had to take time for work to be here, so you go for it.
I'll leave you with the notes, just because we have emailed in, but it gets really difficult getting information in and getting the response out. So, but if it's easier for me to read some of this out, if that's all right, because obviously I'm speaking collectively for a group of people.
Yeah.
Although it's not a large group, there's essentially six of us that organise the event.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of work. So this particular year, it was a bit of a perfect storm, really, because two of the six members had severe health issues, some of which are ongoing. So we were already really quite knee-deep. But the first point that we want to make is, in the spirit of learning and moving forward, not just with us, but with any other community group that you work with, we found it highly irresponsible and unprofessional for the council to contact us as organisers of an event in this size. March was when we received the first email, for an event that was scheduled for June with a full change of terms and conditions. We felt it demonstrated a complete lack of understanding and of regard for the level of work and organisation that goes into this event. So not only did those actions fail to recognise that infrastructure had been planned in and bought and paid for by then, but in enforcing a new layout that would have totally changed the way we run the event. It impacted our security, our health and safety, the logistics and the public interaction with the festival. This in turn impacted our submitted and agreed full event management plan with Ashford Borough Council's SAG. As volunteers had already put in so much time and effort, the onus was then put upon us to challenge and try to redress the issues. So stress and extra work were lumped upon us while we were made to justify what was treated as a bit of a tantrum. And this all within weeks of the event being staged, when our work level was really high anyway. We couldn't cancel the event in order to straighten everything out first, as we would have incurred at that point in the region of £16,000 in cancellation charges. So the professional thing to do would have been to consult with us, working to overcome any concerns possible together, but ultimately working towards new T&Cs for the following year, 2018, when adequate allowances could have been made on our part before we'd booked and paid for the infrastructure, or we could have withdrawn the event without losing thousands of pounds in late fees, which is what we were faced with, basically. So we could not understand the hurry. So that's the first point, was that there was a complete lack of understanding about the position we were in. So not only were we struggling with the fact that a small team was already depleted at that point, or they'd had to withdraw some of the workload that they usually take, but we were between a rock and a hard place. We couldn't cancel. We'd have lost 16 grand, which is part of the inquiries we first made. If we stop now and say, okay, let's sort this out and then do it next year, the money that we've worked for years to raise would have just gone on cancellation fees.
Let alone the amount of time we'd already put into it.
Yeah, and so in March, the work we have to do on top of everything else in March is phenomenal to stage that 3-day event. I think people struggle to understand that. So on top of that, we had to start doing all these diagrams and justify why we felt that it was unfair for someone that a group that had never had any involvement in what we did before suddenly telling us where to put everything and what time. Yeah, it caused us so much grief. Anyway, so going on to the press involvement, because I think there's also a feeling that we in some way called the press or started to get them on side. Because we looked into cancelling the event, that's the first thing we did. It's okay, well, let's stop with the illness and all of this. Let's just stop this year, have a breather, address all this and do it next year. But because we made calls, how much would we incur? Rumours abound, oh my God, the festival's been cancelled. It's a small town, and people heard that we were making inquiries about cancelling the festival. So the next thing that we knew was we had some initial press interest. So I received a call, you got it first, actually, I was at work.
Yeah.
From the press asking if it was true that the festival was being cancelled. And we said, no, it wasn't, that we'd had a few issues, but that it was going ahead. So the negative campaign towards it, or it felt that the negative campaign towards the council over the festival was purely kicked off by not having courtesy and forethought to think about the impact of making wholesale changes to our arrangements. But we did attempt to offset the bad press, and we named Phil and Trevor, actually, and said that they were instrumental in achieving a compromise on the agreements, and that was what the press published as well. Even though, actually, that wasn't the case. The onus was entirely on us to come up with some way of moving it forward. But we did say, no, you know, we've come to a compromise, everyone's worked hard for this. And we felt, after that our treatment was really poor, because at that stage we could have said, well, look, you know, we've been dropped in the ship from a great height, but we didn't. We tried to think, well, no, we'll keep this relationship, keep the press off, keep it going. And after that, we felt that essentially that attitude was not coming forthcoming from the council. It was entirely our way trying to mend that relationship. We've got no actual requirement to have an official point of contact with the council, but we did think it would be a good idea to have one. And we accepted the offer of having Councillor Emma Hannett at our meetings, which worked very well. We didn't know her before then, but she's come to be somebody that we appreciate her involvement. She understood our challenges and the amount of effort required to stage and run this huge event, and she was impressed enough to say, I think you should be getting some more support. But sadly, when she left, it was clear, because it was clearly recorded on the website, that no one else wished to pick up from Emma at that stage. So when one councillor reluctantly did agree to be the 10-10 liaison, we only knew because we'd listened to the recording of the meeting, because someone had called us and said 10-10 is on the scheduled agenda for a meeting tonight, which we'd missed, but we then listened back to the recording. But that was the only way that we knew someone had taken over from Emma. We were never contacted or told. And indeed, when all the issues with the T&Cs kicked off, we still didn't get any contact from that person before, during or after. So we thought maybe the council should look at some internal guidelines to advise councillors on anyone who volunteers to work with a community group on how that might work better. Because, I mean, that she clearly didn't think it was her job to do it, and we clearly felt someone should have been, and that we shouldn't have just been shouting at all of you. There should have been someone we could have gone to say, how did this situation come about? We also felt that the council continually blamed Ashford Borough Council for the position that we were in, and that added to our mistrust, because we feel that's clearly not the case, and that Tenterden Town Council should have apologised for the position that we'd been put in and then started to mend the relationship. Our understanding, at least, is that Ashford Borough Council advised on where to look for guidelines on sound, but only because Councillor Roy Isworth had told the press that the council received numerous complaints. And we feel this maligns the festival, it gives the impression it's irresponsibly run, and complaining about us overrunning when the selected section of the programme that he referred to and brought to a meeting was the wrong stage and timings for the complaint anyway. So that entire mess was driven by the ambitions of one man to reduce the running times and the volume, and to have the festival moved away from its current site, or arguably to close the event entirely, although I know he does say that that's not his point.
No, but I don't think that's his position, Jo.
Well, Councillor Isworth, before he became a councillor, he used to come onto the festival site every year and complain to us about the noise. And then becoming a councillor just seems to have amplified his opinions. But rather than the council helping to manage his response to us while he's part of the council representing you as well, it just seemed to give him a platform and a conduit. And that resulted in us being called into what we felt was a very unconstructive meeting, where Councillor Iris was allowed to vent his frustrations at us directly, which before that he used to do all the time up on the
and rep effectively anyway. Then launch a campaign against us by canvassing to his local neighbours for complaints,
yeah.
Which in that meeting he said he told us he was going to do.
Yeah, and I did advise against that. I thought it was not a good idea to launch a hate campaign against a popular event, and that there might be more constructive ways of doing it. So we don't think it's a very positive and encouraging way for a council to build a flourishing or supportive relationship with a voluntary group. So our suggestion is in future that, like this, you have an impartial councillor or an independent person hold a balanced meeting with any outside groups, not just us, but anyone, to address concerns that are being raised or voiced in a less critical and combative way, alongside a bit of praise and work and effort and suggestions for ongoing support, much like we're hoping this meeting will end up being. And finally, our point, which comes back around really to the press, where because some of us as well work in media and we know how the press works, so we were trying very hard in the beginning to keep that on an even keel. We felt that insult was added to injury when the council released statements of their own to the press that we felt were wrong or manipulating facts. The volley of complaints referred to are actually very small or non-existent, And for the sake of the town and its residents, you should be looking at official or anecdotal complaints in the wider context of the number of people who attend and enjoy the event, the early finishing times that we've always stuck to, despite people asking us to go on later, and the number of days per year that this event is asked to be tolerated by the unhappy few. But the town council have been hell-bent on focusing on complaints and their decrease this year, and giving the impression that they've been multitudinal in the past, which is just not actually accurate. And the continued insistence that the council have supported us is also hugely misleading. This is the first year that, after continued pressure and annual application by us, we finally had our grant raised to match the Folk Festival and other groups. And this is despite the fact that we're the biggest event of the year and we remain free to all. There are no ticketed events. We keep it free to everybody. Combined with the lack of enthusiasm to communicate with us and that overemphasis of complaints and negative impact, that does not amount to full support of the event at all. So making statements that are clearly being made to improve the public opinion of the council and paint us as spoiled children only serve to sour the relationship with us even further. We have emailed before and asked for statements to be amended or withdrawn, but it's just they've all just been ignored. So we feel we do not feel that it's a constructive or supportive relationship at all.
Thank you. That was a very clear explanation of why we're sitting here today, actually. What do you want to do? Do you want to take one? Can I take one?
Yeah, sure.
This T's and C's, because I remember sitting at a council meeting and they were approved in November. So how come you won't, they didn't get them till March?
I don't know, we got the impression as well that the T and C's that were discussed at some point, that we didn't know about this, we were told after all of this came out, had also been altered and changed again.
Yeah, we got the impression
the positioning
there were
on the stage
two
was a key
of,
point,
yeah.
wasn't it? That had
yeah,
been
because,
definitely altered
because
since
because although
November.
We shouldn't have done, we called Emma, because Emma had been the only person that had been the contact up to that point for us,
yeah.
and said, look, we've been given new T and C's, did you know about it? And she said, oh, some were discussed last year and approved, but there was very little change. And when I said what we'd been given, she said that wasn't what the council had approved. They've been adjusted since then. I think she did raise the point.
We've got the physical evidence that they were the ones that were.
Well, in which case that's even worse,
isn't
it? Because that means structural change, wholesale change of an event that nobody on the council had any idea of how is run was given to us 3 months before
the March.
The thing is, it wasn't directed just at you, it was the whole T's and C's for the whole recreation ground, so that means every single person that goes on there.
It specified the position of our main stage, etc. Yeah. So it was aimed, whether although that probably applies to other people, we were certainly the ones. And even so, at that point, if terms and conditions changed but not communicated to anybody until March, you'd think you'd look at anybody who's actually booked events for that year even, right up until Christmas, and think, this can't apply to them. Let's let them know so that if they want to book for the following year, they can reconsider their position. Which, of course, we would have done. We'd have just said, well, OK, we won't book 18 because we need to talk to them about the fact that this isn't workable for us. But as I say, we were left instead with £16,000 worth of cancellation fees.
Well, had we known in November, we may not have had those cancellation fees, and we could have just then not gone ahead.
That's
at
the
all.
First thing we did, is we called around to say, what happens if we stop the marquees stage?
Yeah.
We found ourselves in a position where we had to go ahead.
Yeah.
Purely for, as Joe's explained, and that as far as we were concerned, we had no choice. But I have to say that getting them, as already been said at that point during the year, we felt completely compromised. Really, by the position that we were put in.
Mm. No, I do understand, and I think there's been a complete breakdown of communication.
I think we have
but
to hold our hands up to that. In fact, I do. I believe it was February, but let's not split hairs over that.
It was definitely March when we picked it up. I think we had to take the email.
Our problem, from a council perspective, is that we have little experience in these events. We don't know how they operate.
Mm.
And
so why would you not contact a group of people that do know and have done this for a decade to have that discussion so that we could perhaps have some input? Why would it be left until the last minute to tell us?
Mm.
Without opening it to the floor, the people that do know how this works, why do you keep it closed doors and then just drop it on us in March? If you're admitting you haven't got the experience, why would you not seek out to the people that clearly do?
I think the
issue probably is a period of notification. I mean, obviously with regards to control of music at concerts, I've got quite significant experience in concerts up to kind of 80,000 people across the country. Now, And we kind of use the code of practice for music concerts. Mm-hmm. So to briefly support Tenterden Town Council, obviously they come to myself and I offered my advice from that perspective with regard to music levels.
And when was this? In the November? Ahead of the November when the terms and conditions were drawn up?
Yeah, basically.
It was late summer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they were submitted
2016. So again, if you've got the professional advice, why still were you then not giving it to us? Why are we being left in the dark?
Or included, because obviously I appreciate you've got lots of experience, but we've all got experience as well and of that site.
Mm.
So it would have made sense for us all to have a conversation about that particular site, about the external, the other noise, the extraneous noise, the positioning of the stage.
Especially considering we're the only event that does have the big stage and does have the music. The other events, you can argue, the circus, they have music. But these specific terms and conditions were clearly aimed at a music event. It's mind-boggling as to why we weren't at least told this was going ahead so that we could have some kind of right, we'll hold our horses until you tell us. It's beyond me. You've got the professional advice, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's aimed at us, you know we're the music festival, it's all going ahead, you can see in your diary it's booked in. Why are we not contacted immediately to be informed?
Also because we're told it's because there were so many complaints, and I go back again to, I mean, when we talk to the police even about, there's always a slight increase in crime over that weekend, we work really closely with the police,
yeah.
And I remember saying to them 2 or 3 years in a row, there's not much we can do about this, and they said, you have to look at it in the wider context, Joe, there's compared to the number of people you have there, this is a well-run, really tiny amount.
I don't think anybody questions that aspect, Jane.
Well, but I think that's what's driven it, though. What's driven it is
that
there's supposedly tons of complaints.
Well, presumably this all followed on from the September meeting where Roy said his piece, and then this...
No.
So when was Trevor
encompassed
into this,
then? In the office, our opinion is that we have 2 weeks following entertainment where we get our ear bent on a regular basis. In previous years, and that's happened an awful lot.
So how come
when you say
ear bent,
how many? Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about here, which is a context, because obviously
I had two. Nikki Gooch had two, but understand, I've done events in the town. You are going to get complaints.
Yeah, obviously.
And
as I say, we were.
If you were in double figures, if you were each in double figures,
but
that complaints.
Take
two.
Away from the fact that the terms and conditions were well out of date and needed changing, but it doesn't get
absolutely fine.
I'm away from
like
the fact that it wasn't
communicated. It seems like
earlier.
But also, as events, you do get complaints. We work the 3 days there,
okay.
Obviously unpaid. This is what we do. We do it for the community. But although there's thousands of people there, every year we get stick from people.
You are, yeah.
Always a couple.
Or they'll whinge either that they can't walk across, or that we didn't advertise a band properly, or someone's drunk and just wants to take a pop. And we take that in and try to take that within the wider context. We think, all right, some of us have had verbal abuse, but we look at, okay, how many people across the weekend versus the number of thousands
that
come in.
But the issue clearly seems to be that the springboard for all of this was that September meeting when Roy sat there and told us that he was going to get complaints, and all of this had followed since. So maybe it's a coincidence, maybe it's completely unfortunate timing, but we had our dressing down in that September meeting, and we were told there were, I asked you directly how many complaints, and you said 2, as in written proper complaints.
Roy said I will collect more.
And then obviously you seek extra advice outside. That hasn't been done before until we're called into that room and told off because one councillor has an issue with it.
But that is what happened.
I'm going to go out then and get more complaints. If you want more complaints, fine, I'll get you them. And that's tolerated amongst you all.
That was in response to Emma saying, you must get them in writing and record them.
Yes, but he was campaigning for more. He said, I can go and get more, as in he...
Makes it sound like Emma told him to get them, and she didn't actually. What Emma said was, if nobody has gone to the time and trouble to lodge formal complaints,
How many complaints do we have here? I spoke to you after the event this year and called and I said, okay, obviously environmental health, how many complaints have you had? And we're looking at 1 and 2 since 2008. 1 and 2 each year. Now, if people are seriously, seriously angered by this event, I can tell you now, as a wedding venue, we've dealt with sound complaints. I know when people are angry, they will voice that opinion, and they will do nothing until they've got their opinion out there. Now, when you're dealing with, from environmental health's point of view, which I believe is where all the noise complaints, if they're of a decent level, will go, there's one and two each year. I fail to
it
see...
It beggars belief that should put us
one,
in
one, gives Roy the chance to voice that opinion, and then two, is the springboard for all of this to occur. I understand they needed updating, but it does certainly feel like the springboard was Roy's campaign against us.
All the complaints that we received in the office were referred to Ashford because we have no method of policing it and we have no sound knowledge of it.
Understood,
so,
but would you not,
so we
when someone's complaining to you,
people,
would you not say, can I have that in writing, please? You know that it has to be in writing to seriously count.
No, but also all the complaints,
you're
still saying all the complaints.
Council.
I'm still confused about how many are we talking yet? I mean, still...
Well,
it's
starting with two.
I think we got to the stage where we're focusing on the complaints, because really, this is at the same time as the wall pack. So we became aware, everybody was becoming a lot more aware of noise issues, which is why we needed to look at our terms and conditions, which are really, really old.
Yeah,
I do think this is...
But what
event
does the WALPAC hold on the recreation ground?
But also, the WALPAC goes on till 1, 2 in the morning. We don't go beyond 10, 10.30.
And we are not
WALPAC. We are so responsible about the fact that this is a residential area. We're asked every year, it's the weekend, why are you finishing at 9 or 10? And we say, because there are other pubs and places you can go to. We're in a residential area. This is a family festival. That's the time of it. We're asked every year, why do you not go on? And we feel like we're bending over backwards to try and make this as family friendly and as intrusive as possible while providing support for community groups, charities, businesses, and somewhere for the community to come every summer. And all we're getting is the council focusing on, I don't know, 20, 30 even, let's say 30, complaints. And it's just completely out of context.
And from my perspective, you hit the nail on the head when you refer to, you know, there will always be complaints. Having worked in the music industry on both sides of the fence for local authority and festival promoters, it doesn't matter to a certain extent what the level is. You'll always get some parties who are grieved by noise being heard within their own property, especially over a weekend period. So from my perspective, I don't, although complaints might indicate the extent of feeling, they don't necessarily indicate whether it's a problem for the nature of the event. So I tend not to look at the complaints per se. One of the issues with the old terms and conditions were that I think that with regard to music it just said reasonable level.
Reasonable
was,
meant
nothing, let's face
it. Yeah, it does mean nothing.
And I think that's in essence where I suggested that actually when you take the code of practice levels which are provided based on the number of event days in the park per year, that provides a sensible, what's supposed to be a sensible level that provides protection for the residents, protection for yourselves that you know if you operate within that, you can fill your boots, and a protection for the town council with regard to its premises licence. So I appreciate one of the big issues for yourselves is the numbers of complaints and how many that Tenterston have received. And obviously, as you know, Ashford have received very little. Most, and it's quite common in Tenterston that actually a lot of feeling can sometimes go to Tenterston Town Council rather than to Ashford, just because of the setup. So I tend not to focus on the complaints because they're not necessarily.
But if there were hundreds, obviously it would make you go a little bit more, oh, something's going on.
But also, we're being told, we're actually told by Phil and by the council that the whole reason for us essentially being either pulled in or all of this being addressed was stemming from complaints. So for us, for our point of view, that's slightly different.
Certainly,
complaints
drew the attention to the fact that the terms and conditions were meaningless.
I mean, our feedback, even from some people in the town who don't particularly like loud music, is that generally residents here will just say, but we do see the other work it does, so it's only 3 days we put up with it. Because, you know, I don't choose to go over and listen to those bands.
Yes,
some people have even said, I think the bands are awful. But we let them get on with it because we can see the amount of work it's doing for the Scouts, the Lions, the Rotary Club, everybody up there. So generally people step back from that, but we're responsible.
And can I just say as well, given those, the state of the terms and conditions and when we got them, we did actually, and I'll bring Nick in here, we did actually abide by that. And the 65
seconds. Yes,
it wasn't fantastic because we had lots of complaints about people saying that just sitting by the sound desk, the sound tent, they couldn't hear the music. So you have to remember, we have a second stage over this side as well, so there's noise pollution. We can't shift it all around for lots of reasons, but noise pollution from one stage to the other is one of those. But we had a main stage that if you were more than, so it would have been 10, 12 back, because we had people go out to the sound desk, which is phonophobia, saying, can you turn the music up? We can't hear it. And we were desperate, we're trying to keep under this monitor just to see, actually, as well, because we'd had to go ahead without trying to argue our point, whether it was possible to run a main stage with the sound at that level. And our feeling was, well, you may have been happy because no one was coming in, but we had people saying, well, we can't sit any closer because there's a crowd, but we're sitting level with I think it was someone called Darren who came over to me and said, I'm only level with the sound tent, and I can't actually hear it. And I said, look, we've had restrictions put on us, we can't make it any louder. And of course that makes us then question, can you have a music festival?
Especially the amount of money on the stage, on the acts, and the amount of effort you're putting in for people to hear these bands.
When if you're not sitting right up against, or very close to the...
We felt that it was curtailed to the point of, what's the point of running a professional music event like we do, and like we have done up to this point, when people are actually coming up to us, we're wearing high-vis, we're the points of contact.
They set up their electronic areas.
What's wrong with the music? You've got this amazing stage, this amazing phonophobia sound setup, which is incredible, and can be, it can be controlled to the minutiae. And they've literally got it set at a level where, people behind the sound tent were going,
we can't hear any
music.
We're
having a chat here, we can't hear any music.
Is it something that can be improved?
That's the question I was
going to...
The issue we had, because we spoke on the Friday night,
and
it was kind of okay on the Friday night,
it
was when the wind picked up 92. Over the weekend,
and
started taking the sound that way, that's when...
Yep.
Further back away from the stage, it was getting lost completely.
Yep.
But because it was being taken towards the houses, then we were hitting our 65 limit over there.
In terms of improving coverage?
The only way to improve coverage is to put in delay speakers and whatnot around the site, which we've been quite phonophobic, and that basically is half our bill for them again. Mm. It's about £6,000 to add in delay towers further back into the site, which is, their phono are our biggest bill, aren't they?
It costs us roughly £40,000 to stage the event. We raise all of that. The whole point of it is for the community. It's free for all, free access at any point as well. So, and that's the philosophy we've believed in and stuck to all these years. We can't just keep taking that. And that's, I suppose, when we start to question, because it is just one weekend a year and we don't run until late, how difficult is this for people to we just feel it's unreasonable that some people are saying they don't want to put up with it. If you buy a house in the middle of town and you're right by
a recreation ground,
I think to a degree you've got to expect it. Also, can I just query the 65? Because isn't it that I thought that it was 50 above?
Yeah, for sites with three or more days events.
But that does, doesn't it? Because the rec has events throughout the year. It's got the May Fair, it's got the food festival, and the food festival, which has a band. So it does. It has more than that. So I thought we were supposed to measure the
you could go
the
for
level 15 and then
above,
go
background, but that'd be a tighter.
Well, we measured the background and it wasn't. I think we
were measuring background at.
I remember
when
we were in tennis courts.
Because we were saying
the day before. Yeah, I mean the 15 above background is based upon more event days per year, music event days per year, and it's generally a tighter restriction. And it also requires a background survey having been carried out prior to the event on the event days going up for.
Which we did actually to try and give some indication. But so just to cut this point short, I suppose that's something, because obviously we have to. I know on the agenda it talks about planning 2019, but actually we're taking a year's break because of all the grief that we had. So one of the things that we need to consider when we're even thinking about it is things like, so when we're looking at all of the things that we have to bear in mind, including our own staffing issues, is the fact that 65 level is set and can't move, because obviously that's one of the things for, as a music festival, it's key in part of our planning as to whether we feel it's actually possible to keep it going.
I mean, obviously the music code of practice guidelines set out the guideline levels, which is supposed to be a balance between events and the residents. Now, like I say, if you take into everything, you could go for the 15 above. I think that'd probably be a tighter restriction than anything. you could take account of the fact that you're not running up to the 11 o'clock period that's suggested in the code of practice, so it's current, although it's a little bit out of date now because it's from 96. It says inaudible after 11, so you could take account and say, right, actually, it's only going up to 9 and 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock's that latest night,
And you could say, well, actually, because of that, we'll give a bit more flexibility. And to be perfectly honest with you, it was out on the Friday night, and off site it was running about 68. So it was over, to be perfectly blunt with you, but it wasn't over to such a degree that it was something worth worrying about. Hence the reason, you know, there was no comment or no fuss made about that. It was running slightly over.
No, except we had complaints all weekend then about people not hearing.
But part of the problem with the recreation ground, it is small, it does have those residential, basically more or less immediately behind the main stage. It is a limited site. You're always going to be massively limited because of set up there.
As a general query, in terms of where the residents are situated, when it was suggested to move the stage that was backing on more of the High Street, Oaks Road, why were those residents not then in consideration?
It's potentially looking at the numbers affected, and did you do the sound plan? So you look at basically doing a model and looking at the effect and numbers affected and levels,
It
would have been a negligible improvement.
Exactly.
That was enough to just go for it. It's not worth pursuing. But where you've got a limited site, obviously it's not simply a question of turning the volume up. It is obviously looking about the sound system design, and I'm not an acoustic engineer from that perspective, so on sound system design. But you can look at sound system design, and obviously there are a number of options involved, and obviously one of them is delay towers, which obviously do have a cost. But you can look at what the sound system is actually designed in terms of coverage anyway.
So would you say there is flexibility if we're renting earlier to say that we are allowed a slightly increased level then? Is that effectively what you're saying, that flexibility is, that we could go a little louder? Under your professional opinion, obviously going by those guidelines, stressing that I guess they are guidelines, so if it were to end a little earlier, do we have the leeway to go a little higher?
I'd say that there probably is argument for that. I mean, obviously this ultimately is in the terms of conditions, it's not in the licence, so ultimately that would be up to the town council if they wish to deviate from that. I'd say there probably is.
It could be considered.
Okay. I mean, you were heading up towards 68 anyway. On one of the days, I mean, that you could argue that that might be an appropriate level. It's not going to make a massive difference, I'll be honest with you.
We monitor really carefully our sound anyway. This isn't like, oh, it's the first time we've been asked to do it, because just because we've got families with children in the front, if it gets too loud, it's uncomfortable for them.
I've had newborn babies. I had a 10-week-old baby, I have a 3-month-old baby.
Yeah, and there's lots of families with young kids, so we try to strike a balance so that people can hear the music. Nick monitors it really carefully, so does Phonophobia, the professional outfit.
The nature of your event is obviously the front, you want the people who are going to be up and dancing around, and at the back you're going to have people who
but
are
also that we're not deafening children or people who have decided to sit in the front. So we do strike a balance. I think it's just that
I think we're aware that you do these checks because the maintenance guys have told us this, that you do regular checks throughout
the day. We run this as a fully professional event.
We not be treated professionally? I think that's what it stems back to, going back to that we were told in March. I kind of forgot to tell you, doesn't really seem to cut it.
But also after that, I think even at that point, once we'd raised our points, which I thought we did very clearly, about the position that we've been put in, there was no apology at that point or, you know, okay, let's look at amending. We were just treated so heavy-handedly, and through statements and with the press, we were made to look like kids that spat their dummies out when the council were so supportive of this event and kept going on about the money, which, as I say, it's the first year that we were matched when we've applied every year and it's been batted out every year. Not to mention the fact that no one really wanted to talk to us. We've reached the point now where it's become argumentative, but we approached the council for this relationship. We came in stupidly, naively, thinking this is a really healthy, positive thing to do, have a relationship. And actually, our feeling feels it's bitten us in the arse, frankly. We've tried really hard to try and say, lie even to the press and say, well, you know, there's been a massive compromise and they've met us, and thinking, let's try and keep this going. And I bitterly regret that, actually, because I feel like after that, we were just kicked. And we fail to understand why we've been treated this way. It's shocking, really. So you know, we have a lot to consider going forward. And I mean, the sound is part of that, and it was just, you know, it was another issue we had to deal with in the year, that's all. But then afterwards, it was a massive success. Well, actually, no, we dealt with a lot of complaints on site. And we were honest. We said, well, the council have put restrictions on us. We can't put them on.
See, no one's going to go to the council going, we feel entertainment was a bit quiet.
Well, actually, some people did, but they did it. But
yeah,
they did
not
they
in
did.
The amounts that anyone.
But no, exactly. Exactly.
It's too loud in my property, so you're not going to hear the outcry of the other side. You know.
No.
So
I just can I go back to funding, because you say that those delayed speakers are costing extra £6,000. You know, you can get some more funding from ABC, don't you? You know, the leader is very keen to see this event happen again, and you
no,
will get
funding. No, that hasn't been communicated to us at all.
Well.
What
Jerry is very keen to see this event happen.
Who's Jerry?
Jerry Clarkson's the leader of ABC.
Well, why do we not know that? We're the organisers of the event, and no one.
Because he just
us.
Said it to yeah. And also, the councillors, borough councillors, have grants as well that you can get money from. So we can help you get more money from a funding point of view.
And I think
contact.
In terms of the noise levels,
and that might cover those delayed speakers. So
yeah.
You can
we were made aware of that from Ashford Borough Council, that individual councillors do have budgets. But none of that was made available to us or even spoken about. And it's not like we didn't
apply every year to £10 council.
And
it's not through us, that's the thing. It's not through us. It's just I'm married to a borough council.
So
that's why I know it's
some Ashford.
Well, I was under the impression that also there were...
No one saw us. Including them,
no,
but including even councillors that live here
but
and attend either
yeah,
Ashford
they
or
won't, you
no one
to
bothered
to,
but no one's bothered to. Well, but
would. We will
but we're,
tell you.
But we're a volunteer group that work in your community, in our community, doing this stuff.
Yeah.
You would
all
think
we do
that a councillor would then say, "Hey, I'd quite like to help you out with that." Or instead, we apply every year. No one gives any information about that. It just gets batted out. In fact, what happened is we reached the point where it got so bad as well that the relationship that we just thought, well, we don't actually need your money now. We've worked so hard to raise the money
and
in order to make
money
it self-fund.
Getting brought up in every press release, we do support, we give the money.
And we were like, what?
Are you missing this entirely? One, you're only given the same money as the Folk Festival for 1 year. 1 year being last year. It's the first time you've matched it. Oh, we do give the same as the Folk Festival.
For the first
for
year.
The first
and that was
year,
actually
an
because,
been running
and to be fair,
decade.
That's because Emma put so much pressure on it. It was looking embarrassing, actually.
But
that we were just
in comparison
being...
to all the other roadblocks that you have presented us
and with. Also, can I just say, there is a liaison at Tenterden Town Council that just didn't speak to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if they knew that there was funding, whether it was from you guys or whether it was from
the council,
I
think
they
might not know. I know... it all came about because of the event in St Michael's that they put on, the music events. I know they got funding from ABC.
To try and draw a line on the noise point
our relationship
of view, obviously the current suggestion for the terms and conditions is as per the code of practice, basically. And I think in terms of going above and beyond that, there is scope because of community event, the limited times. But I think where, in an ideal world, what you'd look at is the sound system design, as we discussed, to see what you could do on that site to maximise sound on site whilst maintaining off-site limits. I'd say that if that's looked into and that's not feasible, then it might be appropriate then to deviate slightly from the code of practice and say, well, actually, it is finishing at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock on one of the nights. Is there a bit of room there? But I think in most of those situations, to go away from the code of practice, we want to be able to say, right, we've looked at the sound system design, this is physically possible, this isn't physically possible, and then consider whether there could be
so that they use as guidelines and so that we stick as closely to it but without impinging on what we're trying to do over
and
there.
Because
as I say, we're not irresponsible, we're not like some
no,
we just
no,
set up
no,
we're going to,
no one suggests
no
that.
Because we've got, as I say, we've got families there, we don't want to deafen them all.
No.
But what we do every year and monitor closely is that balance. But obviously we feel that all of the feedback we've had has been counterweighted massively to a few residents that by 10:30 at night could be tucked up in bed and not hear a dicky bird, and yet seem to be hell bent on reducing everything that we're doing over
and
there.
They've given the impression that the festival is irresponsible, whether you can argue that isn't the case through press releases and whatever. It's made us look like we're an irresponsibly managed event.
Yeah,
And I think that's just so insulting.
I mean, at one point, a statement that went out that essentially said, we've got no jurisdiction over them, it's not policed. And we thought, we do a full event management plan to liaise with the SAG at Ashford Borough Council all year. We are very policed. We have to account for literally everything, not just sound levels and residents, but everything. I know it's not you, Trevor, but what I'm saying is the impression that was given to everybody, which is why I'm talking about where we try hard to keep your reputation, if you like, intact with the press while you ran roughshod over us. It was giving absolutely the impression that we were unpoliced, irresponsible, and that there's loads of complaints, and that if you hadn't stepped in, the whole thing would have ground to a halt and no one would have an event again, which is great for us, isn't it, as volunteers that have worked hard for all these years. It was absolutely appallingly handled. So I have to say, from our point of view, we're still completely undecided about how we move forward and if we move forward. What we needed to know from you guys is, obviously, we've got to work out our own internal logistics. We needed to know what's the leeway with sound, because it was a test a year for us. It was, all right, let's try and stick close to that 65. What effect does it have? The effect was we got complaints. Yeah. So how far can we push that? And you know, we then have decisions to make about how and when we move it forward. But we felt it was worth coming to the meeting anyway, just because all we kept hearing is, we can't understand why you're upset with us. And we thought, you're going to do this with other community groups as well, if you don't really understand really that just how horribly this went wrong.
But we can't understand unless you come and talk to us. That's
Phil,
the
we were telling you all the way along, all through, and emails, and we were really clear that it wasn't what anyone wanted to hear, and it was ignored, and we did keep saying that. So I've written it down, I'll give a copy to Lisa actually, because it's the first time we've met you, and I'm glad if you know all the details.
There are many emails.
There are so many, and we were just treated like kids.
And I find that shocking that you're saying we have to meet to discuss things.
Well, we do have to meet to discuss things.
No, but why is an email? Why is an email now not a form of communication that can be taken seriously then?
It can.
We don't have to clear our diaries to come in here to discuss his points. I'm sorry, but we don't. That's ridiculous to say that. Absolutely ridiculous.
But if you go back to the sound issues, would it not be easier if certainly Trevor and Nick got together and the town council was involved?
Yeah, but this still harks back to the fact that we were told in March, and then you said to us on an email, well, shall we all get together to talk about it? Mm. And I'm sorry, but that's too late. We're too far in. It's too late to get time off work. We all take time off work for the festival anyway. It's so irresponsible from you as a council and as town clerk, if you're saying you should have told us those things earlier, to leave it to the March and then go, oh, come in and have a chat with us now. It's not good enough, frankly. It's just not good enough. And we're still not getting the explanation as to why, once you seek that professional advice, we're then not told for months. And then why we are
I just find it really hard to believe that nobody, even with the money from Ashford Borough Council, said why everyone's reluctant. I know it looks like now like we're being really brusque, but we absolutely were not like this when we came into the council.
The frustration level
In fact we were warned, we were told a while back by a councillor not to get involved with the council, and we thought that was an irresponsible because he was a councillor himself, an irresponsible attitude. And actually our relationship with ABC is very good. Our relationship with people like the Folk Festival is really good. We support them, we work with them, we share material, we cross-promote. It was only the town council that just seems reluctant to talk to us, give us information, support us. And then when they do something, so we just think, well, okay, it's fair enough if they're not interested because it's not their thing. But then when a bombshell gets dropped on, we try to politely justify our position and even say, keep the press at bay by saying, you know, we're working out a compromise. We just get hammered as if we cannot understand why the town has this attitude to us. Because certainly from a public point of view, it's the most popular event of the year. So actually, if you're representing the people of the town, of course there are some that will moan, but the vast majority love that event. Lots of people earn money for their community groups and charities through it, as well as businesses doing well. And yet we feel like we're absolutely despised by the town council, which is appalling.
I mean, that's it. There's so many people enjoy that event, and that's why me and the town council are very keen to do what we can to help you put it on again. So if you can let us what you need from us, let us know what you need from us, and we will do all we can. If we can do it, we will. And also, if you want, I mean, if you would prefer to help me, come to your planning meetings, that's fine, and I can help you with funding.
We'll
be your liaison. Just let us know how you feel about it.
I think it's helpful to have somebody here that if we need to run through as a liaison and either feedback information or get information or feedback information from us, it's very useful to go to a counsellor. Obviously, we don't want to force people into that position because it's exactly what I was saying, listening to the recording of someone trying to work out who was going to pick up the baton and run with it. It sounded like literally nobody wanted to do it, which was really puzzling. So that's really helpful, Lisa. Yes, thank you. We'll liaise through you. But I think at this point, we just need to take away what information we've got now. It's really helpful, Trevor, to have you here talking to us about it.
I'm more than happy to obviously discuss it with you and with
yeah. And because then any financial impact on what happens with that.
Yeah.
But we have an awful lot to work out with this, and we are actually looking forward now to having a year off because it was so stressful.
Yeah.
As I say, not just on this level, we've had other issues as well. But
Do you think you're going to get any more? Sorry,
I think perhaps having those, what obviously Jo's read out and what she's given you there, maybe that's something that you can all mull over and give us a reply to, because at the minute it feels like a lot of things are still unanswered. And I think unless some of those things are put to bed, I think it's going to be a real struggle. Obviously, we can form another trusting relationship with yourself or with another representative, but I think we still need to have that reassurance that actually that you're sorry, in a way, that it has all gone this way, and that some of the misconceptions of the festival that have gone out publicly... I understand, but maybe we hear that, but I do feel
Well,
like
actually, we hadn't heard that, Lisa. You're the first person who said that.
Absolutely.
So actually, that is the first time
the
that we've heard anything
about the festival have been really detrimental to both the festival and us publicly. You know, why are we being presented like that by you guys? It's really insulting. So I kind of think it would be great to go forward with someone that was a little bit more interested and or supportive perhaps, and to have a bit more guidance. But I still think there's a lot.
This has done us a lot of damage.
It's damaged a lot.
Because in statements from this council
and our enthusiasm
press,
in the event, you know,
it makes us look like we've been appalling and
event,
we've been everything.
I think one of the problems
feels
is
too
that
heavy now.
The local press obviously do regurgitate the same story week in, week out, which
but unfortunately it's not just the
no.
local press. I think if you look
no.
at Tenterden Town Council's press releases, they are still
they all
going
indicate
oh
we,
well no
yeah.
we had this and it still effectively lies from what really happened, and that doesn't sit well. So I think to move forward and to look forwards, great, yes, positive, let's try and move forward, but underlying we've got to get past that. And I think unless that's addressed by the town council, like I say, you've got it all written down now. Perhaps if that can be addressed from yourselves to us and then perhaps publicly, maybe there is something that we can do to work forward. But I do think there's a lot in here that's just still kind of being a little bit shoved onto the carpet. And personally, I don't think that that's going to be very progressive to move on.
I think there's some when it comes down to individual people that we are going to have to move beyond. But I think
certainly, Phil and I, but it is really easy
to blame the local press. And as I say, the local press
I'm not blaming them, I know you say they regurgitate,
but the reason they're regurgitating is because they initially just reacted to rumours that it was being cancelled, which we couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, I tried really hard to say no, it's fine, there were terms and condition issues, they've been worked through. But the fact that the council then put notes out saying, you know, we fully support this, well, they come back to us then saying, is this true? So of course then we're saying, well, actually it isn't. Because actually if the council just said, yeah, bit of a cock up, you know, we changed terms and conditions and it was too early for the festival, so we're reconsidering for 18, but all back on track. But they didn't toe the line. Instead, they were bashing us. So of course then we're getting calls and calling Phil and everyone here saying, can you not put statements out saying, A, that you're inundated with complaints essentially, and that essentially we're saying we're going to cancel it just because of a few minor changes to T&Cs, and be honest about the situation. That wasn't happening, which is why I felt really upset that I'd tried to handle it and keep it contained. But the minute then, essentially, we were being lied about in statements and to the, of course then we're going to defend ourselves in the press because we're being accused of running something poorly or just having a bit of a girly tantrum about stuff, and we bloody weren't. We were trying to keep the thing on track and from being put in a really difficult position while we've got day jobs and kids. You know, this is not like, and we're an event company, so we're just trying to keep this on track and earn money. This is something we do in our spare time.
No,
hence it taking so long to get a meeting here with you guys, because we've all had to take time off work and get tickets on our cars if we're not very, very careful. So, it's just unfortunate. I think it's really good to come in and clear the air a bit. I certainly wanted to make it clear that there was very good reason for us to be upset with the council, because we've been continually getting that, we have no idea why they're upset, and it's, like, incredulous. So I just think it's been really good to clear the air just for a start, as you say, to be able to just move forward from that. But then it's up to us as a group to work out what happens next and what that time frame is.
Mm. Yeah. I think if the sound issue can be addressed, and you know, we have no expertise in this department, and none of the councillors do, neither do I. So
I mean, we all be Trevor, because Trevor's the one that takes the licence.
Yeah,
away,
that's right. Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this sound issue can be addressed to everybody's satisfaction, then that's got to be a good thing.
Of course it's a good thing, yeah.
So I if you could have seen the relief on that guy's face in the garden at Elmfield on that Friday night, it was quite clear that he was so pleased that they hadn't been, that the volume hadn't been too high for him.
I'm sorry, that cuts no ice with me.
For
because that's one person, and we deal with thousands of people the other side of the
room. But I think, unfortunately,
also one year, exactly. One man in his garden is really happy.
As
I say, I don't think, even if you're unhappy about the volume, we're not expecting him to put up with it beyond a very late time. Mm. And instead, there's at least one year now where there's people like Scouts and Lions and Rotary that can't make money out of that event, that supports his community that he lives in as well.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a little bit of broadening of the mind.
The limit-wise, it's just that, at the end of the day, it's striking that balance, obviously.
Yeah.
It does involve the sound system design and setup, and the off-site limit. It is striking that balance between the event and the whole point of this code of practice is you can have tens of thousands of people enjoying an event. It's to strike a reasonable balance.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we need
to do. Yeah, exactly. That's what we call reasonable.
And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm happy to go out on the weekend and actually do monitoring independently to assist the Town Council, Ashford, you know, and yourselves if we get complaints. I think a sensible limit provides protection for yourselves as well,
mm-hmm.
because you know, more or less music-wise, you can do what you want within that limit, and if there are complaints about the noise and the volume, then you know, well, actually, we're always...
I think that's the problem, Trevor, it's whether it's sensible, because,
I mean,
obviously, we try to, as I say, we're also trying to balance that with
running
a music festival where people can enjoy and hear the music,
and
also, as I say, we've always felt responsible by saying we don't expect anyone to have to lay in bed trying to sleep late at night with loud music going, which is why we've always curtailed it early. Even though Roy whinges that we run over, it's a live event. We manage multiple
but
live
even
acts.
That September
it will
meeting
run over.
In 2016, when we were there, sat with Roy, and this was going on, we even sat there and we said, "Oh, actually, do you know what? Yeah, the exit music. Maybe we don't have to have that as long. We'll wind that down. Okay, we'd already made progress in how we were going to improve the event for these various complaints. We'd already had that conversation, we'd already agreed on that, and then yet it all gets changes and it's still not told to us until the March, and that I think is where
it was just really misleading, wasn't it, as well, because Roy kept saying you've run over to 10:40 or something on the set, and that wasn't the main stage, that was a marquee stage that was further over, and the sound was nothing like as loud as that, and he was pointing out wrong
times. And we know, but we're exhausted. At the end of the event,
we do not want it to
we're
go
kind
on
of like, woohoo, let's go. You know, we're not there going, yeah, party up. It isn't what it's about.
We clear the side.
No, I manage the main stage. Yeah,
exactly.
You've got to go litter picking.
Trevor, what I'm trying to say there is reasonable sound level. We feel, particularly with a professional sound company we use as well, that we keep to a reasonable level, that's not too much for residents to expect to have to put up with, but also for the crowd to hear.
Yeah.
And also that we don't let it run on. We don't go there. We're asked every year, every single year,
mm-hmm.
why do you not go until at least 11? It's the weekend. It's ridiculous that you're kicking us out at 9:30. That's one of the reasons, partly because we have the site maintenance to do, and also because we know there are residents there.
Like I say, my opinion of it is we're steered by the code of practice. You know, that is national guidance based off research, isn't just numbers plucked out of the air. And from my perspective, that provides organisers with protection as well. It's not just it's not designed for the residents, it's to provide that protection for all parties.
Mm.
And I think the best way is to have a sensible limit that works, obviously, taken into account sound system design, so that you know you run within that. If there are complaints, you know, it's been monitored, it's within the limits, so they can be...
But that's saying 65 again. So
what
we're saying is taking that, then nothing would have changed.
No, they're saying if you spend £6,000 on these other speakery things, and so therefore it doesn't go
to 65. Rather than having the speakers at the front loud, and the wind taking it over that way, have speakers at the front and speakers by the sound tent, and turn both of those sets of speakers down slightly.
Right, so that, we're distributing that sound more evenly across the area.
So
yeah.
we can appease
the
complainers by spending.
So do we think that would have worked this year if we'd done that?
And it would have helped the complaints we had of people further back not being able to hear it.
So I assume you've got wind as well, that.
Yeah,
the
prevailing wind goes that way, generally, and takes it.
But there's always environmental factors do impact,
It could change direction. The whole thing is...
That Friday night, there was no wind at all. It was completely still.
Yeah.
And we weren't having issues on the Friday night. It was then the Saturday when the wind picked up things started to...
We can manage the sound better in the second stage even, because there's a marquee, although that's not ideal. We can manage it better.
That was quite the Friday night, because that's when I walked over to the beer tent and I suddenly went, I can't hear that band on stage. And I looked over and I just saw you and I came to speak to you and you were Phil and Trevor. And I remember that was the night that I thought, that's really quiet. Because I don't normally get out from behind the stage, quite honestly. So the fact that I did, that's the first time I had popped out. And I was like, no, that was quiet. Because as soon as you were level with that sound tent, so I think the Friday night
the sound went. I had people moaning in the bar. Yeah, they were coming outside the bar. People are used to standing outside the bar and being able to hear the main stage, not really loudly, have a conversation, but they were saying, I can't hear the band.
The problem, as I said earlier, if you're looking at kind of the actual design, the problem is that the main stage is backs onto the residential, and in order to provide the coverage based on that, the stage as it was, the crude way is just turn it up. It's looking at what options are available. And I'd suggest, obviously, if you're having a gap next year, that gives a nice period, no particular rush, is to look at how the coverage could be improved, whether that's the design of the speaker systems themselves or delay towers.
You already know
see what options are there, because that's ultimately what you're trying to achieve, is coverage, not just simply as loud as possible.
That's right, because otherwise you deafen everyone in the front, which is what I'm saying we've never done.
Which we've never done.
And we've still never had complaints at the back from people can't hear. For me it was the level was the issue last year, because we did nothing different.
And sometimes the directionality, now I'm not sure what the particular system was, but as well, if you're looking at coverage, if the speakers are fairly directional and sending the sound out fairly straightforwards, then you're going to have kind of an aisle where it's louder, and then obviously out on the periphery, the coverage is going to be less. So it's looking at what options there are, and I'm not an expert in sound systems design.
It was a DMB V series, which is 130 degree horizontal dispersion, which would have been pretty adequate for the way we had it set up.
Yeah.
And then there's a ground stack line array, so the top boxes were louder than the bottom boxes to throw it further back.
Yeah.
And then, because it curves like that, so the ones pointing down, the people at the front are quieter than the boxes at the top, which are throwing it further back.
Our general feeling is that you're better off behind the tent anyway. I mean, that's where our green room is. It's where we have conversations and talk to security and do first aid, and it never feels excessive behind that stage.
It's not, my babies have slept there.
Yeah, so
they
so
don't sleep well.
It's surprising.
Sometimes behind the stage, what you end up with is a lot more of the low frequency noise, and that sometimes causes irritation, because you're ending up with a frequency imbalance. You're hearing the lower end of the music,
which is why they're always insulting about you've got terrible bass band.
So I think moving forward, if you want to, obviously you have your big discussion with if you want to work out the sound and find out the extra costs, and then if you want to liaise with me, then we'll try and get some more money to cover to see if we've got any all those extra costs.
Can I just clarify with you, Trevor? Are you actually saying that there is some flexibility on that 65?
That
it could be moved up because of the
It is code of practice. I'd argue that if the sound system design was looked at and the options were considered, and you know, if it's that the delay towers weren't feasible, the best system available is being used. With the earlier finish times, I think you could argue that there is a bit of a scope to increase it slightly. It's not going to be a massive. I mean, you've got the 65, which is given for other urban venues, and you've got 75, which is some of the stadiums, basically urban stadiums. There is scope, but you could argue that it could head up towards, I know it's running at 68 on the Friday, but kind of 68, 70 might be something that could be argued to be a reasonable balance given the 9, 10 o'clock finish. But you, like I say, you'd want to look at sound system and say, right, we're doing everything we can to go keep it towards a 65.
Sounds like we are, though, aren't we?
We do that.
The sound of those speakers, and they are probably as good as we.
And that's where you may go to with sound.
Without without spending
the extra
more money.
Yeah.
And then obviously with regard
more distributors.
You might be able to look at obviously modelling it on SoundCloud, obviously seeing and again what level you're trying to achieve front of house.
And also really whether that's practical. I'm just thinking that anecdotally we had a guy come who does major events like you. He works in Brighton and Shoreham Festival and he does sound and he does like as in major big name bands and he'd come down, he's been a couple of times to our event because people come because they get to hear good young local bands and give them a chance.
Yeah.
But he'd said for the setup here, for a small town and a small area, this setup is massively professional. It's just brilliant. From the LED screen to the sound system, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And actually, but it did make me stop and think,
We haven't done it by last year.
No. It might be.
So where do we stop? Do we just keep spending money till...
That's what I find a little bit, really. You're going to spend an extra £6,000.
I'd rather give it to the Ben Hammond Fund,
frankly,
and have someone put up with an hour's warning.
When you look at best practical means as well, from most noise and what have you considers best practical means, so you can take into account financial limitations. You know, you could spend tens of thousands. You know, that might not be reasonably feasible, but...
that has been suggested, I'm really sorry we're going to have to wrap it up pretty quick because we're going to get a ticket otherwise.
I'd just say that it's the sensible thing is to consider it. If like I say it's not feasible, then it's incremental.
I think otherwise we spend a fortune and the change or the sound change is incremental
and then we'll still get someone in the back garden
saying this is pissing me off.
If you talk 65-68, difference of 3 dB is considered to be just perceptible.
We're starting to split hairs then, aren't we?
I've bore you with acoustics if you want, but you've got to go.
and we're aware that
if we do have to start.
If those considerations are in our terms and conditions, if it is feasible to raise it, and it is feasible to do these, is it really relay or delay speakers or whatever?
Delay speakers, although we could have done them with that weird echo
then
thing.
We, as a council, will have a defence against people who walk in and say, it's too loud in my garden. We can say...
Roy, the best one in the world, it's one of your councillors that will ask you to define it to the nth degree so that he knows whether we've gone over, and we know that, which is why we're saying that even a kind of agreement to...
If it's a bit woolly,
Roy will be the first one saying, what is the actual...
We've got 15 other councillors.
We'll have an argument to counter that, won't we? Because
well, that would be nice, because actually we've only ever heard Roy from here. This is our point.
We've heard Roy.
And literally no one else defending us here at all.
I think from the town council's perspective, not I'm from town council, but I'll speak for you, as Phil suggested, is about having a justified level.
If
someone challenged it, whether a member of, a bit like the wall pack next door, a member of the public can call for a review of a premises license.
Yeah, of course, I don't think that's ever been argued upon, though. It's the way it's been presented to us in the
But with regard to the limit, if that discussion's been had and then it's actually, it should be away from the code of practice, should be more generous because of X, Y, and Z. If that happened, the town council could stand up and say, we have done everything reasonable and we've gone slightly above the code of practice, but within sensible.
Which makes complete sense as long as you know that the councillors that you're talking about are actually supporting the festival. And unfortunately, from where we sit at the minute, prior to today, we could have safely said there isn't a single person there supporting this event.
That's based on
Ashford's advice. So if councillors go against that, then that would be really strange. We've gone with the advice from Ashford because we know nothing about decibels.
No, obviously, and that runs back to why all this was done without talking to the first place.
But nevertheless,
what we're trying to say is if you're working, what Trevor's talking about here is what lots of people in the music industry do. It's all a bit as we're used to working, which is you're professional, you take a professional approach, you're sensible about it, and you. But there are no kind of there's no. Dealing with people like Roy, there's a set number, this is the line, do not cross it.
And
unfortunately, if it's written down as a kind of, bear in mind this, bear in mind that, that won't be good enough for some people to object.
Yeah.
Just object is what I'm saying, Phil. Mm. So what that they need is someone to counter it. And we have had no voice here at all. In fact, quite the opposite. Everything's been weighted in the negative. So our feeling is we can't put on an event unless we feel comfortable that there is adequate support for the event as well within somewhere that ultimately has the ability to pull our hiring of the recreation or indeed lose a license that affects lots of other people as well, which of course we don't want to be held responsible for, but we have been threatened with in statements that have come from this council saying that essentially we are flouting it to the point where what we do could impact other people by the license being pulled, which is also really punitive and not helpful. So it's what I'm trying to say here is it's well, absolutely get what you're saying, Trevor. We would work in the same way, but ultimately, if it comes down to the town council and whether they feel that we've worked within those reasonable guidelines or not, that's really quite subjective, then, isn't it? And depends on support from the council.
Power levels still need to be agreed. If you're finishing at 9, it can go up to 70.
Yeah.
It would have to be.
Well, as Trevor's rightly pointed out, if you stick within
yeah.
your absolute limit,
yeah.
then no one can have you. But
yeah.
what we're saying is that absolute limit that we applied last year clearly didn't work.
Mm.
So it's how much then we're prepared to move that
yeah.
and take that chance.
Yeah.
And that comes down to us again as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got quite a lot to
I think as long as Trevor's happy, we'll be happy. Because, as I say,
yeah.
he's the one that takes the licence away.
I won't go quite that far, but
well, yeah, you
but yeah, I mean, yeah.
But I think it has to be said that we've never put you in jeopardy of having your license taken away by
these
two official complaints.
Yeah,
I think that's the bit that makes us feel
that,
a
that's
bit.
Kind of the extreme
okay.
end, and it
absolutely.
Probably would never end up being to that extent.
No.
And yet statements
that.
From this
yeah.
council have gone out saying
but,
that we were putting
but,
that in jeopardy,
but that's,
yeah.
and that they've
exactly.
come to the rescue
of losing our license.
But they've come to the rescue of the license of the festival. So greatly exaggerated, if we're polite.
Yeah,
lying. Actually is what it is, and that's partly why we were getting so angry. It's all this stuff going out making us look really unprofessional
yeah.
and like we were putting everybody's fun at jeopardy and losing
yeah,
the town's license, which was actually not true at
you
all.
You were saving us
yeah,
yeah from
having
the
which is why when we
yeah.
checked with you, are we in danger of losing our license here, because it seems odd, we've had no notification of that, no warning of that.
No.
When we were told no, we're thinking, so why are these
no
statements going out? But then when we asked for
us.
That to be addressed, Phil, it's ignored. So you should be able to see exactly where we sit here.
I think leaving that, like you say, leaving that what we've written.
Yeah, I think because it's especially because Lisa,
it.
We've never met you before. I know you're probably not aware.
Perhaps
of there
may be a reply
there.
To that officially. Who knows? But I think that does cover everything, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's
yeah.
lots of other stuff that there's no point in getting into because it's all subjective and
yeah.
personality wise. But
yeah.
fact wise, that those are the actual facts.
Mm.
Yeah, that we need
yeah.
to work with and around.
Yeah.
Cool.
I will be here, and I do hope we will see another entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah, on the website, let me know.
Brilliant, okay.
Thank
I will
you very
get,
much.
Get hold
time.
Of
your emails
you're
and then you'll have my emails if you need to.
Okay.
Yeah, brilliant, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for your time. Thank you. It's nice to meet you, Trevor.
Yeah.
Thank you. I need to use the loan before I.
You know what
it
is, don't
you? Yeah. Is there a reception?
Yeah.
You just got an hour's ticket.
That will take
this.
Okay.
The traffic wardens are quite voracious.
Where are you coming from?
City Board.
Oh, City Board.
Yeah.
No, thank
my
you for coming. Then you've got to be further
there.
To go.
Thank
you.
You
too.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
You too. Thank you.
Who's going to that?
That's Joe.
No, I forget. Okay. She shall know since yeah. she said that.
Okay.
If that was recorded, are we all happy if that's published?
I think we're not this.
We do, we send an email around
yeah.
just to make sure everybody's happy.
Yeah, I'm
probably
happy.
The easiest way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, good.
See you later.
Thank you.
Cheers.
I love that.